This morning we will be in John 20, 1 through 18, I think is where we got this morning. And as we come this morning to take a look at the story of the empty tomb, the risen Savior, how Jesus is rose from the dead. We heard that story this morning in Matthew, and we hear it again in John, and folks, it's not a lot of difference, but there are some differences. And that's what I want us to kind of take a look at this morning is let's just break this down just a little bit and talk about how everything that took place in the book of John, how it had such a meaning. Everything that Jesus does while he was here, I think, ministering to each and every one of us, still today, we get to hear his message. He had a mission, folks, for that. Everything he was doing had a purpose. And if you don't believe that, that's okay, I guess, but I truly believe everything he'd done was fulfilling the Old Testament, and it had a purpose leading us up to this day where we are right now. And so we wonder sometimes, well, Mike, we hear this story. We hear the story of the Jesus being raised from the dead. And we just hear this story, and we really don't know that the purposes, or we don't know the connections in it, you know. And you can look them up. You can search them and study them for yourself. And, folks, it is awesome when you start looking at the little things that's in this scripture that takes us back into time, back into the Old Testament, back into things that that we really maybe overlook sometimes. We're not going to do a lot of it this morning because I know everyone is, some's been to early church this morning, and that was wonderful, and I hope everyone enjoyed it and enjoyed the sunrise, as I said earlier. Let's start with John 20, first verse. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Peter and the other disciple started out of the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up, lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stood and looked in. She saw the two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied. "I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which means Hebrew, is teacher in Hebrew. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go and find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, a lot of times, folks, we get caught up in our own selves. We get caught up in the things that's going on. And we, just as the maybe John and Peter and Mary had, they didn't understand fully what was going on that morning. They got there and all they could see in their minds at that given time was just a stone rolled away in an empty tomb. But my goodness, folks, just stop and think. They had been with Jesus. Jesus had taken 7 demons out of Mary. They had been with Jesus every day. And they had watched and he had taught and spoke to them about what would happen. Yet, they got to the tomb that morning. And they were kind of caught up in themselves. And they couldn't imagine what had happened to the body of their Lord and Savior. You know, it said that Peter went home. And Mary continued to stand at the tomb and cry. You know, as we stop and we look at this story that we've just heard, Mary had come to the tomb early and found the stone rolled away. This morning, it was 6:03 when I actually looked at the clock, and it was just breaking day, just enough you could see to walk around outside, just enough that you could manage on your with the light of the, you know, the daybreak. And I thought about Mary so much, and I thought about how she was coming to that tomb probably at that given time. She was on her way, or maybe she had even traveled some in the dark just to get there at daylight. And I thought about this tomb, folks, and I thought about myself. When I hear all of these stories, I think about myself, because how would I have reacted to all of this? How would I have been any different than Peter or John? I think John got it. I think he caught it quicker than any of them. But yet, why would I have been any different than Peter or Mary? And so I was sitting there this morning, and I was just looking outside, and I'm thinking about Mary. Mary is coming to the tomb. The stone is rolled away, and the tomb is empty. And, you know, you're saying to yourself, anyone would. You're saying to yourself, somebody's taken the body of Jesus away. But yet they had been taught that Jesus would rise from the dead. They had heard this from Jesus himself. He had tried to prepare these people for what was going to happen. And yet they were caught up in their own emotions to that point that they did not hear. And then we know that it tells us here in John that after they thought about the body had been taken away, that John and Peter, once she went back and told John and Peter that the body was gone, they ran to the tomb. Now, there's a picture at my house that hangs over our fireplace, and it is a picture of John and Peter running to the tomb. You can tell John's about a step ahead of Peter in this picture. And you can tell that Peter's probably twice John's age. And you can tell that Peter is struggling to hang with John. He's struggling to just walk with him, maybe a trot. And you can tell that if you think about this picture and you think about this story, that John's going to get there before Peter does. And so this is what took place. He got there before Peter. And when he got there, he did not go in. He stood there and looked in. But Peter, being older, being a little more experienced in things of the world and things of happening, he went in. And there, when Peter went in, he saw the empty tomb. John went in after that. You know, there's a lot of meaning to what maybe took place right here, but I can't find any scripture that backs this up anywhere. But I'm thinking that John being 20 years old, you might say, and Peter being 40 years old, that he respected the difference in their age, and he allowed Peter to get there thinking that they might discuss what had happened, and Peter immediately went inside the tomb to see if the body was actually gone or had it been placed somewhere else. I think it was respect that John had been taught for people older than himself. I think that respect is something that we see today, folks, that has totally been lost. It doesn't matter what age you are. People consider people people. I was taught anyone that's older than you, that's capable of being your dad or granddad, you show respect. And Peter could actually have been John's dad, probably. We don't actually know. So the respect that John showed Peter is something that I think that we overlook in this story a whole lot. One of the small things, but yet we overlook it. We know that as Peter, it says, Simon Peter arrived and went inside, and he noticed the linen wrappings lying there. The white cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. And we know, folks, that back in that day, their time, that when they had a meal, they had a big gathering or anything was going on. When they got through eating, and a lot of y'all can remember this from being kids yourself, us older folks, when you got through eating, you would place your napkin maybe in your plate or put your stuff there for them to pick it back up, the ladies, or to clean up the table. Well, at that time, if your linen cloth was folded, if your napkin was folded, that meant that you were not through with this meal. I'm not through with this meal. I will be back. Something has called me away. But I'm folding my napkin and I'm putting it in my plate here, around my plate. And that means I will be back. You see, Jesus, at this day, he had folded his head covering and he had laid it there for them to see. Automatically, probably to Peter, being the oldest, it probably reflected to him that this head covering's folded like maybe it's saying, I will be back. But where is Jesus at? Yet, it wasn't being put together in their minds. It was all just a big conglomeration of things. So we could see that Peter could have missed that at that time, what the intent could have been with Jesus. And it said, then the disciples who had reached the tomb first also went in and saw, and he believed. And folks, I believe John at this time, he understood what the scriptures had said. He understood what Jesus had been teaching. That he would come, and on the third day he would die, and the third day he would be raised from the dead. And to me, this scripture, what it's saying here, it says, click, John got it. Because he believed. He understood what was going on. But then we see that Peter, he went home. How many of us would go home? How many of us go home for the least little thing now? We don't think about going, a thing about not going home. Least little thing happens at church. Least little thing, anybody gets their feelings hurt, well, we just go home. And we don't come back. You see, Peter went home, but he went home to ponder. He went home to ponder on what was happening, what had just happened. He went home, I'm sure, to talk to the disciples together as a crowd. We go pick up next week right there. So we know that Peter left the tomb, but Mary stayed, and she was standing outside the tomb. And like we said earlier, Mary had Jesus had taken out 7 demons out of her, and she knew and believed in the power of Jesus. She just couldn't get over her grief that he had died upon this cross. They had taken him off of the cross and placed him in this tomb, and now he's not there. She couldn't get over it. She was just caught up in her own grief. Folks, that's no different than what we would be if we had been there that day. Or if we went to our loved one's grave and we found an empty tomb, we would be caught up in the grief of what's happened. What's happened here? Why would we have an empty grave? And so this is where Mary's at. But folks, so many times, I think this is where Jesus is going with this message, because when we see that she had stooped in and looked, and she saw two white-robed angels. Two. There was one sitting at the foot and one sitting at the head. Well, what significance would that have been? That wasn't any significance. There was just two angels there. There was just two angels that had that was at the tomb to bear the news to Mary. Well, maybe so. Maybe so. But if you look at Exodus 25, where the ark was the cover for the ark, the mercy table, or you look at the covering of the ark in Exodus 25, verse 17, starting with 17, it was the covering for the atonement. It tells us right here why there may have been two angels sitting at the foot and at the head in Exodus 25:17, starting in 17. It says, "Then make the ark's cover, the place of atonement, from pure gold. It must be 45 inches long, 27 inches wide. Then make two cherubim from hammered gold and place them on the ends of the atonement cover." Two cherubim. Scripture says two mighty angels. And they're to be one at each end. And they're to be facing each other. And their wings are to be over this cover. Mold the cherubim on each end of the atonement cover, making it all one piece of gold. The cherubim must face each other and look down on the atonement cover with their wings spread above it. They will protect it. Place inside the ark the stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, which I have given to you. Then put the atonement cover on top of the ark. And then he goes on and says, "And I will meet you there to talk to you." And we know he did. He met Moses. And he hovered over it and talked to Moses. So you see these two angels as they sat. They were molded angels, molded out of gold, these cherubim. And they were placed one at each end, and they faced each other, and their hands or their wings overlapped, making a protection for this cover. What was happening in the tomb? The same thing. The very same thing was happening. But folks, we really don't stop, and we really don't think about what was going on. We just think about the story and the fact that there were angels there. There were angels there, yes. But were they there for a reason? Everything, I truly believe, folks, so many things that Jesus done and so many things that Jesus said, and Brian's been teaching us this, it reflects the Old Testament. It goes right back to the Old Testament. And if you look, there is something in so many of the sayings. And sometimes we have scripture marked that will reflect us back there. Sometimes you're maybe looking a little deeper in something, and it takes you back there. But if you just think about the Bible, so many times you can find this scripture in your mind from what you've heard as a kid or what you hear at church on Sunday. That's why it's so important, folks, for us, me and Brian, and for you to teach and preach the gospel. It's so important because this gospel message is leaving today. It's leaving quickly. You'd be surprised at the people you turn the television on, and they're not talking about the cross. They're not talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They're just not doing it because it's going to scar these babies, or it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. That's not true, folks. It's not going to do anything but teach them the Word of God. And that is what we want. We want the people to hear it. And Jesus spoke to Mary. And the angels asked her why she was crying. And we know that Jesus had spoken to her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener, it said. We would have as well. We probably would have never dreamed that it was Jesus that was speaking to her. But then he said, Mary, Mary. He called her name. Just like a shepherd calls the name of a sheep. And what does the Bible tell us? They know their name. Folks, God knows every one of y'all's names. Every one of them. And when he calls your name, do you hear it? Do you hear that word? Mike, do you hear that and know that it's God speaking to you? You know, the Holy Spirit, folks, is something that lives within us. The Holy Spirit is present within us. I have felt the presence of God inside me, and I hope you feel the presence of God inside me. It's not me, folks, but it is the Holy Spirit that lives within me. It's not Brian. It is the Holy Spirit that lives within Brian. It's not this worship team. As y'all heard this wonderful music this morning, it's the Holy Spirit that lives within them that's bringing this message. It's hard to preach after we heard the music we heard this morning because it's so wonderful. It said everything it should be said about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It was awesome. And we can give praise and we can give glory to any one of them for how they can sing and how they do. But folks, this is a gift from God. It's given to them. It's a gift God has given you. You might think, well, I don't have any gifts. I don't have any way that I can be a minister or doing anything for anyone. Oh, yes, you do, folks. Yes, you do. You see, Mary, after she cried, teacher, Rabboni, and she grabbed him by the ankles probably. I imagine she fell on her knees and wrapped her arms around his legs. And he told her, he said, Mary, he said, I haven't yet ascended to the Father. You cannot cling to me. You cannot detain me, Mary. You can't hold me here. I have something else I need to do. I have to ascend to the Father. I have to ascend and to your Father as well as mine. It says, go and find my brothers. I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Folks, that is the most wonderful, wonderful message that you could ever hear. Not only was he ascending back to the Father and sitteth at the right hand of him, God the Father Almighty, he is calling him your God as well. And folks, there will be one day, the Bible tells us, there will be one day when we will be resurrected from the dead. We will be, just as Jesus was. Isn't that an awesome, awesome message? It just so awesome and so hard to yet grasp in your mind that sometimes when I really think about it, it just breaks you down inside and just makes you emotional, folks. And when you really study about it and how you really know the love that God had for us through Jesus Christ and how God had to have suffered with Jesus being here, going through what he's went through on earth, period, for all of these years and then coming to this weekend where he was placed upon the cross and the suffering that he went through. And he went through this suffering for you and for me. He paid that sin debt for you and for me. He done everything he done because of love. Folks, that is the most awesome thing that could ever be given to you. The best message that could be given to you. But like Mary, she went and told the disciples. She said, I got a message for you. And she told them the message. And she said, I have seen the Lord. And she gave the disciples his message. You know, folks, we ourselves are standing in front of an empty tomb. That tomb is empty. We should all be filled with joy. Today should be one of the happiest days that we know of. It become one of Mary's happiest days, but she started out all in tears, all tore down, all messed up because she thought that something had happened to Jesus' body. But folks, today, the joy that we have, knowing that we serve a risen Savior, knowing that we have eternal life through this death, burial, and resurrection, knowing our sin debt was paid, if we only call upon his name. Knowing that he done it for you just like he done it for me. Isn't that the most awesome thing in the world? But yet, you say, well, I haven't got any gifts, Mike. I don't know. The Holy Spirit didn't give me anything. What about we just take that message back out into the world? Take that message right back to the people and our families, to the people that we work with. Take that message right back out to anyone that we come in contact with each and every day. You know, folks, you don't have to go around preaching. You don't have to be preaching about God every minute of the day. But people look at you, and they see you, and they see if you are a child of God or if you don't even know who God is. They know by the way of your actions, the way you speak, the smile on your face, they know. They know who you are. And I pray today, folks, that we come, as we all come to the end of our Easter sermon, and we all stop and we think about this. I hope that we think about Jesus Christ's love for us. First one that has never accepted Jesus Christ, that you do. You accept him. You come to know him. You come to have a desire in your heart to be baptized and to be a part of a church. You don't have to be a part of Grace Life Church. You can just be a part of a church, a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. That's what we want. Maybe you'll grow and you'll become someone that will go out into the world and make a difference with someone else, some other group of people. And folks, never shy away from people that you think you're better than they are. Never, because you don't know who you are. This morning as I opened my daily planner, Tammy's got on me pretty heavy about not looking at my planner every day and taking a few notes and things like that. So she said, we're not, believe that, Brian, but she said, we're not doing this like you want to do it. We're going to try to do better this year. And so I'm trying. And I looked at my daily planner this morning. And the very first thing was a saying by Kate Halverson. I have no idea who Kate Halverson is. But it said, and it just looked, I looked at that. That's the very first thing I saw. I looked at it and it said, if you're wrapped up in yourself, you are overdressed. That's pretty cool, folks, especially on Easter Sunday. If you're all wrapped up in yourself, you're overdressed. I thought that was so cool, you know. So a lot of times we do not take that message back into the world because we're all wrapped up in ourselves. Think about it. Undress just a little. Not always. Undress yourself just a little and go back into the world and spread the gospel in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.